unfortunate first reading, of course, is a simple testimony to the fact that the scriptures, especially the Hebrew Bible, came out of an intensely patriarchal society where every good Jewish man woke up in the morning and said, "I thank you, God, that you did not make me a woman." So. But the nice thing is that the Bible is, interestingly enough, and nobody pays much attention to this, is a self-correcting text. If you look at the whole history of the biblical narrative, it changes. It changes drastically. The book of Job is a radical revision of everything that went on in the book of Deuteronomy, for example. And of course, we get what we believe to be the apogee of this, where we get Paul saying, in imitation of Jesus, in Christ there's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ. Okay. So today's the next to the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King. And that's what the passage about Thessalonians is about, and that's what the gospel reading's about. The end times. I mean, this is hard, I think, for us, for whom progress is our most important product, to get our heads around, because we look and see there's an endless future. You know, we're just going to be rumbling on, yea, unto the ages, and you know, nothing's going to stop us. Well, not according to Jesus. There's going to be a finale for the human enterprise. Heaven, hell, death, and judgment. You know, the four last things classically talked about. I'm not so sure hell exists, but in any case, it's neither here nor there. The point is there's going to be a terminal point. And that's really important. Because we put so much store by our own effort and our own continuous, ongoing effort. And in every day, in every way, I'm becoming better and better. Well, come on. I'm not so sure that's true. But there was an interesting survey taken several years ago here in Canada about what heaven was like. I don't know whether any of you remember it. It was not all that memorable. And the 90% of Canadians said, well, it's like a great homecoming. I'm going to go and see all my buds. You know, my folks, if I liked them. If I didn't like them, I don't know what arrangements would have been made. But I'm going to see everybody I like, you know. And this is the thing, God was never mentioned. It's like God was a great landlord who rented the hall, you know, so everybody could get together and then, you know, he paid something. Well, that's pretty sad. It's understandable, but nevertheless pretty sad. That's the way we see the climax of existence on this planet for all of us. Because, you see, you cannot appreciate the end time until we get our heads around that almost incredible notion that it's going to mean justice for everybody. Justice for everybody. I mean, we just passed Remembrance Day with the millions of those corpses. Stalin with his 15 million starving Russians, you know. My God, you look at the world and it looks like a bloody charnel house. Seriously, I don't think that's exaggeration at all. Somebody pointed out that the greatest product of the 20th century was corpses. Who didn't just die, they got killed by poison gas or atom bombs or warfare of one sort or another. And so until we do this almost improbable leap of imagination, say it's not just for me and my buds, but the end time means the culmination and justice given to everybody who's ever lived on this planet. Life is short and brutal for most people on this planet at this moment. Over a million refugees, how many people dispossessed? You know, How many people living in abject poverty? You know, we don't need Boko Haram and their capture of 200 schoolgirls to see how monstrous our behavior is as a species. 42 college kids murdered in Mexico. Mexico. Mexico's not that far from us. You know. The U.S. with the biggest prison population in the entire world. Most of whom are black and poor. You know. What do we do with the people who belong in mental institutions? We put them on the street and say, oh no, we're going to restore them to the community. Baloney. They're out of sight, they're out of mind. You know. Yet all these people, every single human being on the planet is to get justice. And until we appreciate that as the terminal point of human existence, we're whistling past the graveyard. You know, we're living in bubbles. We all have our bubbles. You know? But what I'm suggesting is that the contemplation of the end of the world means the end of injustice, the end of cruelty, the end of the fundamental unfairness that marks so much of human life. You know? So the 7 billion of us now and how many billions who preceded us, all the anonymous, wretched, poor people who built, I always wonder about those poor sods who built the pyramids, you know. Yeah. How many thousands of lives did that require? They had the special on the great army that the first emperor of China buried with 5,000 larger-than-life-size statues. How many people did that kill? And who's being memorialized then? It's just, you know, just think about the inequities of our world. London, Ontario. You don't have to go east on Dundas on the other side of Adelaide. And you'll see plenty. Go in your own neighborhoods. My own neighborhood, you know. And see my neighbors screaming at each other in anger, fury, you know, publicly. Something is wrong with us. Something is desperately wrong with us. But there will be a final rectification of all this. But it's not because we close our eyes to the misfortune of the great mass of humanity, but that we open our eyes to the unfortunate mass of humanity and embrace them as brothers and sisters. And only that is a truly Christian understanding of the end of the world. Everything else is cloud cuckoo land, make-believe, escapism. Because God is the God of everybody. God is the God who will see justice done to everybody.